Racing HQ, brought to you by Tab's new Odds and Evens. Simply pick whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens or split. Gamble responsibly.
Well, a Monday wouldn't be the same for September 9 not to go and reflect back on the Sydney meeting on Saturday with Alex Steadman from Racing and Sports. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well indeed, mate, and we're excited about the weekend's racing and particularly the return of Red Zell. Take us through your thoughts on the overall race.
Oh, I could wax lyrical about this race for a while. Red Zell, this guy, he's a marvel. He's accounted for four Group 1 performed sprinters on Saturday. He's won the Concord Stakes 3 years in a row now, and of his three wins, we've got Saturday rated as the clear pick of them. We've got him running up to his best with a time form rating of 126, and that's right up there with some of his best performances, for example, winning those two Everest. He absolutely scorched around Randwick on Saturday. He ran time well inside standard. All signs point to him being well on track for yet another Everest title defence. That said, though, Pierrata, he was brilliant in second, and Graf was solid to the line in third. So they certainly look well in Everest calculations too. Overall, look, the Everest, it just breathes so much new life into sprints such as the Concord, the Shorts in 2 weeks' time, and the Premier Stakes. Ever since the Everest, we've seen the strongest renewals of those three races ever. It's a fantastic concept. And, yeah, we're seeing the flow and effect early in the spring, Andrew.
Yeah, look, it's just week in, week out. We'll talk about this week shortly, but you know, you look at the Everest market and it just changes, and we're yet to see Santa Ana Lane. That'll be in the Shorts. We're yet to see Osborne Bulls. And who knows what they'll end up doing with a Lise that we now won't race until that day, whether it's in the Everest or the Sydney Stakes. So look, it's an everyday thing. Can you relate to us just on Pierrata? You know, we see those sectionals of, what was it, 31 and change, an extraordinary time. We know that had headwind, but, I mean, the horse has come back off that run in unbelievable form.
Yeah, completely agree. He was charging home, and he's run a time form rating of 125 for that narrow defeat, and all signs point to him returning potentially bigger and better than ever. We've got the run on par with his Galaxy Stakes success, but I suppose the encouraging thing for Pierrata is he's done this first up. So you'd like to think that Greg has trained him to be peaking third up for the Everest. So who knows what sort of level he could potentially reach this campaign.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Talking to him yesterday, and the horse has come through so well. Will it run in the Shorts is the next question that Greg Hickman and the owners have to decide. And we should mention Classique Legend. It's barrier trialling tomorrow, so we'll have that covered here on Sky Sports Radio tomorrow morning from those Randwick trials. How did you rate Libertini and Villamai in the Furious?
Libertini, certainly not as convincing as she was expected to be winning, but I guess a win is a win. She's run a bit below her dominant success in the Silver Shadow. She ran to 115 plus in the Silver Shadow. She's run a shade shy of that on Saturday in the Furious Stakes. It was still enough for her to become the first filly to claim the Silver Shadow Stakes, Furious Stakes double since Speak Fondly in 2015. The T Row Stakes, that's next for her. More Strawberries, Streamer and Fox Play, they've each claimed the Fury Stakes, T Row Stakes double so far this decade. After that, I suppose everyone can assess if she's Everest material after that T Row Stakes. Realistically, what she ran to on Saturday, we probably want to see something more like a Silver Shadow win to be heading to an Everest after Saturday. Villamai, great in second. And Probabil, she was finding the line like a flight stakes filly, even an Oaks filly. And realistically, that's a race that Libertini's not going to be heading towards. It sounds like she's going to be kept to sprint. So fillies like Probabil and Flit, who ran second behind Libertini in the Silver Shadow Stakes, they'll have their moment and their chance to move out of her shadow sometime next month.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing Probabil for sure over a longer trip. And as we heard on Saturday, Jerry Harvey saying it's 100 to 1 that Libertini will go anywhere near the Everest after her run on Saturday. I'll talk about the Chelmsford in a moment, but just a reminder for participants that may be listening and have just totally forgot this, but nominations close for a lot of Group 1 races in 15 minutes at midday. And one of those horses that I hopefully will see in the Epsom noms is Dreamforce. The way it won the tramway, again, it had the wind on its back and everything, but it couldn't have been more dominant. But then relate to us, Tiako Shark, what Time Form have done there.
Yeah, look, both of the runs were strong. Dreamforce, he's just so honest, and it's what we expect from him now. To go forward and produce that massive kick, Nash jumping aboard, four winners for the day. Nash on the front runner like Dreamforce, that's just a match made in heaven, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it is.
On Saturday, Dreamforce, he's run to a Time Form rating of 122. He's certainly right on track for the Epsom. Next start, it's going to be in the Colgate Optic White Stakes or the George Main in 2 weeks' time. And that race has been a breeding ground for Epsom winners this decade. Of late, they get stuck running behind Winks at Wait for Age in the George Main. Then they move out of her shadow under handicap conditions in the Epsom Stakes 2 weeks later. Examples of that include Happy Clapper and Haraki. Tiako Shark, I thought he certainly did enough in his Australian debut. It's always a shock to the system for these Kiwi horses getting on a firm Australian track after what they're so used to in New Zealand on the wet surfaces. He's run well short of what he's capable of. He's just struck a really informed galloper in terms of Dreamforce. If we look at his rating, he's run to a Time Form rating of 114, Tiako Shark, which is obviously three lengths short of what Dreamforce produced. And if you look at that in terms of his peak performances in New Zealand, he's certainly got a length or two up his sleeve on that dominant win in the Cooplands Bakeries Mile that he produced in November last year at Rickett and Andrew.
Yeah, for sure. $5 tab Epsom favourite prior to those entries that close at midday. Dreamforce at $6. And then Samadad is there at $8. It goes to the Colgate Optic George Main, and then Bjorn will sit down and work out whether it will be an Epsom.
Yeah, Samadad just went to the front again, and he just keeps going. He's run to a Time Form rating of 122. He's found good improvement off his first up run, which was in itself a massive jump on his prior career best, which came in the Canberra Cup. Something of a surprise post-race because he was generally considered to have a substantial fitness edge over his rivals first up, and they haven't bridged the gap on him. It's gone the other direction. These were the sort of races that Winks had been warming up in for a few years prior. They were basically paid barrier trials for Winks. And Bjorn Baker, to his credit, he spotted what was essentially an opening in the calendar and he's capitalised. So as you mentioned, the Colgate Optic White Stakes in 2 weeks' time will be next for him. Avilius was solid in second. I thought he certainly would be turning the tables on Samadout after the first up run in the Wink Stakes. And Girl Tuesday resuming. She was working home nicely in third. I'm very curious to see what direction she heads in over the coming month or so, Andrew.
For sure. And just finally, Yao Dash to win this really competitive Benchmark 72. Nashua Willow Road, but Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Botov got some thinking to do here. Do they head towards a Golden Rose?
But they really do, don't they, Andrew? This guy went straight to the front and kept going, ran time well inside standard, and we've given the run a Time Form rating of 109. As you mentioned, there were discussions post-race about the Golden Rose. Didn't quite run up to that standard. However, with natural improvement at what would just be his third career start in a Golden Rose, he can certainly run a race in that sort of company. You look at the place getters as well, Funstar and Emerald. They were both finding the line nicely, each are giving every indication they'll appreciate more ground. Races like the Flight Stakes, the Thousand Guineas, and the VRC Oaks, they're just around the corner for each of them too, Andrew.
Yeah, no, very intriguing. And I text Adrian Bott through this morning and he said, we're not far from a decision, but not yet. So it will be interesting to see what direction they go. Mate, outside those, anything else you wanted to mention?
Well, we've talked about a lot of Epsom runners, Tiakau Shark, Dreamforce, Sama Doubt. They sit at the top of the market. One just underneath them, I think, should be nominated for Saturday's Cascadian. I loved what he did on debut, well, in his Australian debut. And considering his best ratings in France, we're only just scraping the surface with this horse. So keep an eye on Cascadian to make his presence felt in terms of a future Epsom hope, Andrew.
Yeah, look, I'm just looking through the nominations for Saturday. I think it was going to be there. I'll just, I'm panning through them, which is not terrific radio, but
he should be in the Theo Marks stakes. Oh, he's not there. Yeah. That might be something you should probably be following up on. That's a big surprise to me.
Yeah, let me just open my notebook and go back to what James told me during the week just gone. No, it's going to the Bill Ritchie.
Ah, okay, of course. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So that has a ballot exemption for the Epsom if he picks that off. So he'd ideally win the Bill Ritchie and then go into the Epsom third up with no weight on his back.
Theo Marks noms are out. Group 2 on Saturday at Rose Hill. There's 13 of them, including Arcadia Queen. Baller's going to back up. Eldorado Dreaming. Gem Song, Enticing Stars in this race. Noir, Tom Melbourne, Trope is in there, and Zusane. The Run to the Rose, you've got 13 nominated. Yes, yes, yes. Prince Fay was. Kubrick, Hightail, Exceedance is nominated with Dawn Passage, Catch Me, Castel Vecchio, Bivouac, Anahita, Session. What a race that's going to be. And the Scirocco, Arcadia Queen is in that race also with Enticing Star. And there are, looking at it, 20 nominated in that race. So they're out, and the all-in markets will open up over the next few hours for those races at Rose Hill on Saturday, where we start a good four. The week starts on a good four. Alex, thanks for your time, mate. Hope it's an enjoyable week ahead.
Thanks, Andrew.